Accession number 31448, Mr. Roy Jones, Reel 6. Now, so what happened? You've got this Kiryat Haim camp that you'd set up.
No, that was the name of the Jewish settlement.
So what was your camp called?
I can't remember. I don't think it was called anything, because all they had on the roadway leading up to the camp was 1st Battalion South Wales Borders, and that was it. I can't remember any name for that camp at all.
Now, what was the camp like? What was it like living in tents?
It was a bit dusty. But other than that, it was okay.
What were the tents like? What do you remember of it?
They were possibly... Oh, I'm trying to think now from size what the size would be. Somewhere is about 12 foot by 12 foot, I would think. Something like that. And I think it was... I said 8 before. It was either 6 or 8 to a tent. May have been 8. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, I think it was 8. 8 to a tent. And I think the reason for that we had the square tents was... You knew you were going to be there for a couple of years, or you're going to be out there for a couple of years. And so I suppose they, not like when we were at Church Stretton, they were round tents. I think it was 8 men to a tent. There was 8 panels. The tent was made up with 8 panels. And there was 8 in it, and it was feet to the pole. You all slept with your feet to the centre pole. That was in Church Stretton, and it was a bit horrendous when somebody, you know, you're coming in overnight, stepping over bodies, because all your kit was in there as well. But these tents that we had out in the Middle East were a lot bigger, and I'm sure it was 8 to a tent. And what we used to do, the beds were like, obviously a single bed. A steel bed with mattress, a mosquito net, and your blankets. No sheets. You didn't have sheets then. And we used to get issued with 50 cigarettes a week in tins. And the reason for me bringing this up at this particular time, the tins were round, probably 2-3 inches in circumference and about 4 inches deep. And we used to stand the bed legs in them to stop anything crawling up into your bed, because it used to crawl up the tin and fall in the tin. So that's what we used to do there. And it was pretty unpleasant when the weather was really hot, because then you could roll the sides of the tent back to each corner. And in the summer, then we virtually slept with those wide open all the time. Then the food, the toilets.
Tell us about them.
They were, all that was it had a corrugated iron roof. And if you can imagine something made out of concrete, possibly 2 foot high, and a circumference of about 8 foot, with holes cut in the circle at the top, and that was your toilet. And it was a pit that was dug about 8 foot, 10 foot, 12 foot deep. They were already in situ, and all they used to do was throw lime down them. But you can imagine, if all the places were taken, you were sat in a circle. Probably, obviously, it went in a circle, so nobody could see, you know, look at you front-wise, like, but it was, and it stunk to the eye, Evans. The flies, which would be obvious to anybody, and that was the toilets. They had a separate urinals, but they were only like a tin trough, and that just run away into a pit. The dining room was a big tent. The food.
What was it like?
It was bloody awful there.
Why?
Well, most of it, if we had bacon, it was in a tin, a round tin. And when they opened it, it was just like streaks of fat. It was horrible. The cheese was the same in tins, round tins. The potatoes, I think majority of times, were tinned. And it just wasn't very pleasant at all.
Any fresh meat or fresh food?
The only fresh fruit we had, we could buy it. You could buy plenty of oranges and stuff like that, which we did. Tea, yeah, you got tea. But that's all you did get, tea. You didn't get coffee or anything like that, just a mug of tea you had. And the meals, there was enough to eat. The quantity was there, but not the quality. But as I say, you got by on it anyway, because there was nothing else. And a typical day there, for us in the band anyway, was you get up in the morning, and we used to have an Egyptian fella used to come round with tea of a morning. You had to pay him, and he had a steel container on his back. Never forget him. And he wore a red fez, and he used to pump the tea, and it would come through a rubber hose. And if you left your mug out, he was there early morning, you just top your mug up with tea, and then you paid him at the end of the week. And nobody ever robbed the fella. He always got his money. He used to sell oranges, but we'd done our PT kit, and he used to run us round this Jewish settlement, Kiryat Haim, for PT and that. Then we'd do a bit of arms drill and what have you, and then it was band practice.
Now, what was a band practice like?
Well, by then we were reasonably proficient as regards the band, and it was just then now was learning to play the marches that this band sergeant used to teach us, and it was fairly easy really, because he had the buglers, but they obviously couldn't play as long as a drummer could play. So there was a lot of drum music, if you can call it that. There was one I can always remember, was when we moved from there, was called Wayne's Keep. That was the band sergeant's I don't know what you call it. He composed that one, Wayne's Keep. And that happened to be a camp we moved to later on. But, we were fine. Although there, we didn't do a great deal with the band as such. Because even then, as bandsmen there, with the stern gun operating like it was, then we had to take our turn on patrols. And all the patrol was that you'd go out.
Now, take me through a typical patrol now.
Well, you'd form up, you're issued with your ammunition.
Were they always night patrols or daytime?
Yeah, night. Because they didn't do much attacking or caused any trouble through the day. It was always night time they did it if they're going to do it, because they placed the bomb alongside the police station, which was just down the road from the camp, and that was the night we were all out then. But the typical night was you'd be out for, well, 2-3 hours, and you'd be issued with the ammunition, one up the spout with your safety catch on, and you just go out on patrol.
And how many of you?
How many in a patrol? 12. 12 on a patrol.
Mobile split,
walking, yeah. But you might have as many as 6 or 8 patrols out in different areas.
And so what would you do?
Well, it was just a case of, particularly in and around where the Palestine police post was, and any known area that they thought they were about to operate in, we'd be sent there. But all it literally you were doing was just walking and observing. And
what formation would you be adopt?
In single file. More than often than not, you'd have probably 6 one side of the road and 6 this side of the road, you know, left and right hand side of the road, 6 of each. We never really, the only time we had a bit of a skirmish with them was the night they blew the police station, when almost the whole of the camp was up that night.
And what do you remember of that?
We heard this loud explosion, and next thing, sergeant come running, right, get dressed, lads, equipment on, bring your rifles, and we were out. And we sort of advanced on to this Palestine police post. But by the time we got there, they'd gone. So there wasn't a great deal of action there with that lot, as far as I can remember.
Had it done much damage? Did you go to the scene?
Blew a hole in the wall, but didn't kill anybody.
Anything else about the patrols?
No. Not really. They were pretty boring, really. Because I don't know whether we were lucky or not, but we didn't encounter any of them. I think most of the action with those people was in and around Jerusalem. Because it wasn't long after that that they blew the St. David's Hotel. And I think there was quite a few killed there. But as I say, we were probably in that camp for 6 months or so.
Now, did you start learning the anti-tank gun there then?
No, it's very peculiar, this, because it didn't happen well to me while we were in Palestine.
Okay, right.
That will come later on.
So
while we were in Palestine, we were sent down to the docks at Haifa. And this was the time when the Jews were trying to get back in to Palestine, and the Royal Navy were intercepting ships and escorting them back to Haifa docks, because they used to come alongside the wall, and if you've seen the state of some of the ships that those people were on and the amount of people that were on them, and we'd have to go down, and we'd have DDT packs on our backs, and as they were coming off down the gangway onto the jetty, we'd have to spray them with DDT powder And then they were all sent to the up near Haifa hospital. We had to provide a guard every night for the hospital at Haifa by the maternity ward for all the Jewish women that were pregnant. And it was then, not long after that, that we were told that the battalion was moving.
So you moved from Kiryat Haim to...
We were moving to Cyprus.
I thought you moved somewhere in Palestine from Kiryat Haim. Near Kiryat Haim.
No, Kiryat Haim was
you
the Jewish
there
settlement.
All the time.
Yeah. And then we were in this camp alongside the settlement.
And you just stayed there?
We just stayed there. We were only there probably, 6 months, I think, if that.
Now, how did you get on with the Arab and Jewish populations, if you met them much?
Well, we didn't meet many Arabs unless you went into Haifa for a drink. You know, if you were off duty, you went into Haifa for a drink.
How'd you find them?
Okay. No problem at all. Jews were fine as well. Never had any run-ins with any of them. Because the only Jews you would be in contact with were the ones that were legally there, which in this Jewish settlement, as I said, Kiryat Haim, that was, they were just solely Jews, nothing else in that settlement. And they were fine. But they all dressed the same, blue shorts the girls were in, and white blouses, white shirts. But it didn't matter where you looked, that's the way they dressed, all of them. There was no individual clothing sort of thing, they were all dressed the same. And as I say, the Arabs, the only time we had anything to do with Arabs was whenever you went down into Haifa. Other than that, but never any trouble with them. Never any trouble
And there
at
weren't
all.
Any attacks on men from your unit?
No, none.
The Jewish?
No, none at all.
So anything else you remember about Palestine? How did you take the climate?
Well, I think with going out by ship helped a lot. Because I think the journey was possibly a fortnight or more. And as you got further out, you got warmer and warmer and warmer. And so it wasn't too bad. And it was fine. It was a bit rough at first because you didn't walk around long without your shirt on. And I think a lot of people that did get sunburned were misguided. They thought they'd get away with it, but you couldn't, not with sun like that, because you'd only have to be in it for half an hour and you'd be burnt. But I coped reasonably well with it. I was never one for really being burnt with the sun. Never been burnt in the whole of my military career with sun. So that was okay.
Anything else about your time in Palestine?
No.
So quite dull for you. I mean, yeah, not a lot happening.
No, not a lot happening for us, no.
Now, you heard you were going to go to Cyprus. That would be five months later, so...
Yeah.
So that would be... Oh.
Up there, October.
March?
It'd probably... April. It's difficult to try and...
No, that's fine.
...go back this far. I don't know whether it was April, May, or, you know, around that time anyway, somewhere around about there. The whole battalion was moving to Famagusta. And we went from Haifa to Nicosia. Well, Haifa to Cyprus. Now, what port did we pull into? Perhaps it was Famagusta, the port, and then a train, which was just like cattle trucks, the train. I've got a photograph of that somewhere. No cover at all. And they were made out of wood. And they were wide open. It was just like wooden side with slats on. And that was the Bataan. It was a small gauge railway. And we went from Famagusta to Nicosia. And that, we went to a place called Wayne's Keep Camp.
Wayne's Keep?
Wayne's Keep.
Now you spell it?
W-A-I-N-S-K-E-E-P.
All Wayne, one word?
Yeah, Wayne's Keep.
And that was near Nicosia?
Outside of Nicosia, yeah. It was in between Nicosia, the airport at Nicosia, about equidistant between Nicosia and the airport, was stuck in the middle.
Now, what was the camp like? Can you describe what that was like?
That was tents. That was already up. That was a tented camp like we had in, what's her name, with a big parade ground and a concrete cricket pitch in the middle of it. And all we did there was training again. The actual rifle companies were just out doing training and one thing and another. And the band was just doing band work. As I say, in Cyprus, there was nothing to do. And I forget how long we were at Wayne's Keep.
So still not doing the anti-tank gun?
Now this is where it's, we went from, I'm just trying to think because Famagusta comes into this. Oh, that was it. When we were in Wayne's Keep camp, I was due for what they call LEAP, which was Leave in Advance of Python, and I think the Python was returning to UK after your tour. So I was due that leave, and there was a corporal and myself were coming home on this LEAP, and they said to us, you're going on an anti-tank course while you're in the UK on your leave. So that's when they made me Lance Corporal. Apparently, I don't know how true it was, but whether you had to be an NCO to go on the course. So we came home, and we came home virtually overland. You went from Cyprus to Port Said. Cyprus to the mainland, then the train down to Port Said, then a ship from Port Said to Toulon, and then the train from Toulon to Calais. And it was the name of the ship that I came home on that time was the Colorado Springs Victory, which was one of those American Liberty boats, all welded jobs they were. They were built quite rapidly by America and sent, you know, to help with our merchant fleet. So we went to Netherhaven, the School of Infantry.
That's where you did the course.
And that was the winter of 47. The bad winter, 46, 47.
So that was at the actual School of Infantry, was it?
Yeah, at Netherhaven. Heavy Weapons Wing, which was...
Now, what do you remember of that course?
It was bloody cold. We did the course. It wasn't a long course, and I could never really get the gist of going on this, because I never saw an anti-tank gun apart from when I was doing the course. So I just couldn't get the logic behind it all.
Do you remember your gun drill on the anti-tank gun, or anything about the 6-pounder, or was it just not long enough to impress on you?
It wasn't long enough to impress upon me. I passed the course, but I couldn't understand it, because when I got eventually the course finished and we had our leave, and the leave was 28 days, I didn't have a great deal of time left to do before I was coming home for demob. Because when we went back, then the battalion was moved again then.
Where'd they go this time?
Famagusta to build a camp, Carolus Camp.
Carolus.
And that was to hold the Jews that were trying to get into Palestine. Instead of them escorting the ships to Haifa, they escorted them to Cyprus, to this Carolus camp. And this Carolus camp was built just like a prisoner of war camp. It had the high wire fences with a break, then another high wire fence. And there was eight towers built right up to overlook the camp. And we used to have to mount, I think it was something like eight separate guards a night.
So you built it and then guarded it?
Yeah. Well, we guarded the people that were in it. I was always taught when I was in the service never to get involved with politics and stuff like that, It wasn't sort of the thing to do, to get involved with that sort of thing. But when you saw these people, the way they were herded into this Carolus camp, the Jews, to me, I thought it was so unnecessary.
In what way? Were they in bad?
They weren't treated badly. It was just... I in them days, I didn't really know the full implications of the Jewish problem with the people that lived in Palestine, or the rights and wrongs of it. The only thing I can say on that score is the fact that the Jewish people, to me, that I saw when we were stationed in Haifa, were absolutely superb. You know, the towns that we went to that were mainly Jewish, they were always spotlessly clean and that sort of thing. And they didn't do me, or as far as I know, any of our fellas, any harm whatsoever. And I suppose the camp at Cyprus was built because they had nowhere else to put them, trying to get into Palestine itself.
So you had Haifa. You had some sympathy for their plight then?
I did, yeah. Even more so because we had a corporal, the one that did the course with me, his name was Corporal Joseph, and he was a Jew. Because I know before the battalion sailed from Maidstone, he was asked, did he want to go or removed? And he said, no, I want to go. And he came with us. In fact, when we came home for good, I went on, when I come home on that leave, I went and spent a weekend with his family in London.
And so you got on well with him?
Yeah, very well indeed. And as I say, that we did the guards there on that place, and